Hello, everyone. I'm Denise Boggs, and I want to welcome you as we journey together through healing the heart.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be looking into the scriptures and talking about a topic that many people aren't aware of, and that is how sin is connected to iniquity. They're different, okay? Sin comes out of iniquity, and iniquity is the sin nature that is generational. In Nehemiah 9:2, Nehemiah said, "Today confess your sin and the iniquity of your fathers." Okay, so the sin of the sons can be directly connected to the iniquity of the fathers. Well, what is iniquity? Okay, it's in your bloodline. It's your sin nature. Have you ever heard anyone say, "Oh, he's just like his dad. He's nature just like his daddy. Yeah, he blows up and he gets mad and pouts just like his daddy." Okay, but that is the sin nature. That's what that is. That's what's happening. And, you know, we can say, "Oh, she's got the eyes of her daddy," or "she's got the facial structures of her mom." You know, we say those things when we talk about natural things. But spiritually, it's very significant. And we must confess our sin. And when we know 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, confess, He is faithful, God's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us through the blood of Jesus. We're cleansed when we confess. But if we're supposed to, according to Nehemiah 9:2, confess our own sin, but also the iniquity of our fathers, it has to be confessed. And the way you confess it, okay, is to recognize the ways you are still living it out, carrying it out, doing the same thing because you thought it was natural. You just thought it was natural. That's just the way I am. Okay? Let me read the scripture, and it's in Proverbs 26:2. It says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting sparrow, an undeserved curse will not land on the intended victim. Okay? Will not land. Curse. Another way of saying it in another translation is, a curse without a cause can't come. A curse without a cause. So what's the cause? Wait a minute, what's the cause? Well, did you know that the generational iniquity coming through the bloodline can affect you and bring things upon you that you're trying to figure out, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why am I having such financial difficulties? Okay? Why am I having those reoccurring problems that you've prayed and prayed and prayed through? You need to start looking maybe a little deeper and recognizing, is it a generational iniquity that you came out of when you moved out of the house? Yeah, you moved out of the house. You moved out. But if you carried the bloodline, you carried it with you. And generational iniquity can be recognized with reoccurring problems, reoccurring difficulties that continues to happen. And if you see there's a pattern here, even after I keep praying about it, I keep saying, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, I did make a bad financial decision. Lord, please forgive me, Lord." So you're confessing your sin, what you did wrong, and it's covered in the blood of Jesus, yes. And the atonement for the sin breaks the curse. But if you've not confessed the iniquity that came through the bloodline, the DNA, your very DNA, through the bloodline, you can carry it into your family line now, okay? So for the blood to cover that and break you free from the curse of it, it needs to be confessed, okay? Take some ownership of it. So I want to give you a couple examples of mine, okay? Back in the day when the Lord was teaching me on generational iniquity, as I studied through Scripture, I realized iniquity flows through the father bloodline, not the mother, the father. Nothing was found in, there was no iniquity found in Jesus. He had an earthly mother, but a heavenly father. So if iniquity flowed through the mother line, Jesus would have had iniquity, you know, and he'd overcome it and all that, but he didn't have iniquity. Nothing was found in him, nothing. Okay, so it doesn't come through mother line, it's through father line, the father bloodline, okay? So you've got to begin to recognize those areas where you're weaker in, those areas where you get pulled in. And I want to share the teaching with you. It's in my book, Generational Iniquity, because I talk about there's literally scriptures that show us that we're drawn in, we're pulled in by the iniquity. David said it this way. He said, I had to keep myself from mine iniquity. Keep myself from it. He had to know it to keep himself from it. It was in the bloodline, generationally. We know some issues with his father, David's father. Then he had the same sin issues as his father. And then, because I don't believe it had been completely set free from it, Solomon, his son, iniquity. Same thing, sexual. But today, because of the blood of Jesus, the atonement for sin, death on the cross, we can declare our freedom from our iniquities, but we have to recognize them and take ownership. It's not just stand up in a prayer line and we're gonna pray that everybody's iniquity is broken from generational curses. No, it has to be confess, meaning own. In one small measure, have you brought the same thing into your family? Even just a small amount that you've participated in it. And you thought, oh, that's just my nature. Just my nature. And so, in any way, if iniquity of deception was in your bloodline, maybe your grandfather or father. In my own story, and I have it in my book, my dad once said to me, I guess I was in my 20s, he said, oh, you're going to be just like your grandpa. You're going to be a good business person. I said, oh, okay. All right. Well, how? I was excited, to be honest. And he said, oh, your grandpa, he sold produce. So he'd go to the growers and he would buy good apples and he'd buy the what they call the culls, which were the apples laying on the ground that had fallen off the tree. And they were bought for pennies. But he would put those apples in the bottom of the basket and the good apples he paid full price for on the top. And he sold the whole basket as if it was all good apples. And he would, because the apple had not turned brown yet, because it had just fallen off the tree, hadn't bruised yet. The bruise, it's interesting, the bruise didn't show up for quite a number of days, maybe a week. And so nobody connected this thing. Because by the time they ate the apples down halfway in the basket and they're brown down there, like, oh, we didn't eat them fast enough. So it was a measure of deception, and I had to recognize it in my own life because I was a floral designer at the time, doing the same thing, mixing good flowers and 3 or 4 day old flowers together, creating a design, but I'd put the older flowers at the bottom, beautiful flowers at the top. So when the older ones begin to get brown, people are thinking, oh, I didn't water it enough. Oh, and sometimes they didn't show up as much because you covered them up. I was doing the exact same thing. And I have found, as I've shared this teaching over the years, people a lot of times, business, the way you do business, you say, oh, that's just how you have to do business. That's business. And not recognize it as deception. So the curse is allowed to come into your home, into your generation, and God will not bless iniquity. He will not bless deception. So I want you to tune in again. I'm going to give you it's the most amazing key that God showed us in His Word on getting free from iniquity. Join us later.
If Living Waters has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, you can give on our website, livingwatersministry.com/donate, or text any amount to 84321. We have additional resources for you to continue on your journey to healing in our online bookstore. You can click the link in description.